As we prepare to open God's holy word, let us ask His blessing upon that in prayer. Most merciful and gracious God, we thank you for your word, which is a living word, which is truth, which is life. We thank you for our beautiful Savior, the Word become flesh, and that Savior has sent to us your Holy Spirit. Work in our hearts, open our eyes, our ears, soften us, Lord, that we may receive your word. We may receive it in faith. Work in us to the praise of your name, and grant unto your servant strength to preach your word in faithfulness and truth, that we may see this morning the beauty of adoption by grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in God's Word to Romans chapter 6. In your pew Bible, you'll find this on page 1754. 1754, Romans chapter 6. We're going to read the first 14 verses, and our text will be just verses 1 to 4 of Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, beginning our reading at verse 1, this is God's holy word. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. And there ends the reading of God's holy word. Once again, our text will be Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, on this morning, this Lord's Day morning, we've had the opportunity to witness a covenant baptism. Young Molly here was baptized this morning because her parents have confessed their faith. Her parents have confessed that they are adopted by the grace of God. And what you've seen them all say this morning as they stood up was they've made a promise. They've made a promise to raise this child in light of the grace of God and in God's holy word. They promised to raise her in the covenant. That word covenant refers to this special relationship God establishes with his people. This morning, young Molly is a recipient of baptism because she has been adopted. We know this. We've prayed for this. We've prayed for this family for many years. And now we've seen, we've witnessed a beautiful answer to prayer. Praise the Lord. The question before us this morning, however, is this. Are you adopted? Are you adopted? Have you been adopted by grace to be a child of God? It's the most important question to be asked today. The occasion of this question is this baptism. The cause of this question is God's Word. Our theme this morning is baptism pictures our union with Christ, which produces a new life. There's a sermon outline in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along with that sermon outline as well. Theme is baptism pictures our union with Christ, which produces a new life. First, we'll see our death. Second, our resurrection. And then third, our new life. So first, our death. As we turn to our text this morning, we see that it begins with a question. Two questions. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And the answer is no. But the reason this question is asked, it might sound like an interesting question. Why would you even ask such a question? It's because in this book of Romans, it has just been explained, clearly laid out, that we are saved. We are justified by grace and by faith alone. You don't have to deserve it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. And frankly, you won't be as thankful for it as you ought to be. God freely gives this to us. And He gives it to us by His grace. And the reason why the grace of God is so elevated is because we're sinners. And it's as if the more we sin, the more God gives His grace. So that's the question. Should we sin more so that God gives His grace more? But the answer to that question is no. No. The question stems from the idea that if sin is forgiven, it's done by grace. Indeed, those who are saved are given a new life. And that means they turn. In a new life, they turn away from sin. There's a number of word pictures in our scripture text. One is an old life and a new life. Before and after death. But that happens in this life. The other one is an adoption. Giving a new life. Adoption as children of God. We'll speak about that more in a moment. In these four verses of our text, the subject of death is mentioned four times. And it might be an interesting topic for a baptism, death. But the fact of the matter is when one believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, they die. When you believe, you die. You die to your sin. You die to yourself. And the second aspect of this death involves our union with Christ. If we are united to Jesus Christ, then when we are baptized into His death. Isn't that an interesting idea? Baptism becomes a picture of death. In fact, we prayed about that a few moments ago. I don't know if you realized it. They prayed that prayer during the baptism. I mentioned two Old Testament events. One was the drowning of Pharaoh in the Red Sea. The other one is the drowning of the world. Israel was saved through the midst of the sea upon dry ground. Noah, his wife, his sons and their wives were all saved in the midst of the flood. But it says that baptism pictured these great events of God. In both of those situations, we see judgment. And in light of judgment, we see mercy. We see grace. Baptism becomes the same. In light of judgment, in light of death, there is life. Something is gained because something was lost. 2 months ago, I went to a performance of The Messiah by Handel in Toronto. It was beautiful. On the way out, I saw a pile of money on the ground. It doesn't happen very often. Oh, you see it, so you pick it up and realize, wow, somebody must have dropped this. So I looked around and I saw a couple there and I said, is this your money? And I found it on the ground. I said, nope. I looked around, and nobody else seemed to be searching for anything, so they lost my gain, $75 later. The great part is I just gained $75, didn't do anything for it, just picked it up off the ground. The not-so-nice part was that somebody lost $75. Later, they're going to get to their car, or they're going to get home, they're going to empty their pockets and realize, what happened to that money? This is how grace works. But with grace, we're not talking about a few dollars. We gain something which is priceless. We gain something which is wonderful because Jesus Christ gave something up. For Christ, it was his life. And what do we gain? We gain life, eternal life. We gain eternal riches. We gain an inheritance. We gain a new name. Baptism points us to the death that we've gone through by grace. Death to sin. But also the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, which is what unites us to Christ, we are adopted as children of God. This can only happen when the old life, when the old alliances are put to death. So on a joyful occasion like this morning, a baptism, we have here a picture of death, which is always a serious picture. Verse 4 of our text mentions being buried with Christ through baptism. He used to put off the sins of the flesh. And there's a very important word used there in verse 3. And it's possibly one of the most important words of this text. It's the word into. Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Doesn't seem like that great of a word in English. But it's a word with movement. It's a word always with movement. God moves us. He brings us from death to life. He brings us from sin to salvation. And we'll see this beautiful picture unfold, secondly, in our resurrection. Look at verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We are raised up. We are resurrected. Resurrection, boys and girls, simply means to be raised up, to be lifted up. You know what happened on Easter. Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day. We are spiritually raised up if we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are two beautiful ideas contained in that. One we've already touched on already. That is that we are adopted. We are adopted. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and therefore are united to him, let me just say, we must believe for this to be the case. We must give ourselves to God to lay it down for the Lord Jesus Christ and find ourselves in him. When we do so, we are united to him so that he becomes our Father. Because Christ was sent by the Father. This is adoption. If you have your Bibles open, turn over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, page 1813. And look there at verse 26. These are kind of parallel passages, a bit, written to different churches. It applied to both. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you were Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise. Notice verse 26. says that we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Well, this is a little girl. Sons of God, what about daughters of God? What about children of God? Shouldn't we give it the times and translate this better? The answer is no. All believers are referred to in this passage as sons of God for a reason. For a reason. It was sons who were adopted in that world, in the Roman world, in the first century. It's a masculine word there. It means son. And because of that, that's why we see in verse 28, 29, there is no male nor female. We're all sons. There is no male nor female, no Jew nor Greek in Jesus Christ. If you belong to Christ, you are an heir to the promise. As sons of God, legally adopted by God, just like a son would be legally adopted in the Roman world, as a legal action. Well, what does that mean, to be adopted? It means that the child is placed in the same category, the same position, as a biological son. The adopted son is given a new identity. His name was legally changed to match the name of the family who adopted him. He was now in line as an heir to the inheritance. That adopted son, he became an heir to the family inheritance. The beauty of this teaching is not difficult to grasp when we see this in grace. To be called the sons of God or in the family of God means that we are given status. And this is especially important when we think of who we are without God, naturally without God. We are orphans naturally. We are strangers to grace naturally. We're living but for a moment naturally, then only to die and wait for the day of judgment with fear. So the question before us is, dear friend, are you adopted by God? It's free. It's life-changing. It's eternal. You are given a family name. You are given the name Christian. You are given a status. Sons and daughters of God, forgiven sinners. Adopted by grace. Saved. A second picture related to adoption is the idea that God clothes us with Christ. This is part of our union with Him. It comes from the word into in verse 3. Or think of what we read from Galatians 3, verse 27. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Baptism is connected with clothing with Christ. To put on Christ means to receive or to derive all righteousness from Him. This theme of being clothed with Christ or by God is not a new idea brought up here in Romans or in Galatians. It's a biblical picture throughout the Scriptures of what God does for His people. Think our way back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve who fell into sin. What did God do? One of the first things we see God do is He clothed them. He gave them coverings, which would picture the covering which will come in Christ. Or listen to these words from Isaiah 61, verse 10. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoiced in God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. What did the prodigal son in Luke 15 receive from his father when he came home? A new robe. A ring on his finger. Regained status before his loving father. The father threw a party for him. In Revelation chapter 19, in that great wedding feast, the great feast of the Lamb, the bride is given a white gown. This is what God promised to us in baptism. What God promised to us, what God pictures us for us in baptism, is that He will clothe us in Jesus Christ. He'll adopt us as His children. He'll clothe us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith brings death to the old and life to the new in Jesus Christ. But it must be in Jesus Christ and only in Jesus Christ. And listen to these words from one chapter later in Romans chapter 8, two chapters later, verse 10. Romans 8, verse 10 says, "But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you." Being raised up, resurrected to a new life, is something that happens not merely when Jesus returns to judge the living and the dead, that's true, but it happens now. Already now, we are raised up to a new life, which is what we see thirdly. Young Molly here doesn't realize it yet, but after adoption takes place, that means a new life is given. A new home, new parents, a new name is given. All for what purpose? To give glory to God in the new life. Once again, back to our text at verse 4. It concludes with, "This is done in order that we too may live a new life." We too may live a new life. And we may live it to God, not to self. But to God, listen to these words in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." That's the purpose. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It is the calling of Christian parents to teach these things to their children. To teach their children what it means to be part of the family of God. What it means to be a child of God. And as you parents go home, and you talk about what happened in worship this morning, and you talk about this baptism, and this has happened to them as well, you teach them, what does that mean? What does family really mean in a biblical sense of the word? The family of God above all. God is our Father in heaven. Teach them, even when they are young, what God desires from His children. The Holy Spirit, indeed, congregation, must work in the hearts of children. But that doesn't make parents passive. The opposite's the case. No, they must teach. And parents also must love. Usually a pastor doesn't have to explain to parents that they must love their children. Something that usually comes quite natural. But the way of love, the way that a parent ought to love, is a way which points their children to the Savior. A love which is patient and kind, one that is quick to forgive, consistent in affection. Show your children, parents, what the Christian life is, both in terms of walking with God and struggling with sin. That they can see that you're parents who are depending on God, confessing your sin. And may our children, may this little girl find such security in the loving arms of her parents because the parents know the security of being in the loving arms of a faithful Father in heaven. Without that, what is the identity? Without that, what kind of security is there? Without the providence of God, without the hands of God, the arms of God, that's what we need. Parents also must teach their children about the call of the gospel. Once baptized, always baptized. That means that there is a relation established by God, the relationship. And we must tell our children they must repent and believe and cleave to Jesus Christ. We cannot do this for them. We would if we could, but we can't. But we can point them. We can lead them. We can guide them. We can point them to the way, to the truth, and to the life. As our children grow and mature and gain responsibilities and make their own decisions, let us remind them of what Christ has done and what that means. And there is a call there. There's a calling there for children. For children to walk with the Word in their hands and the Spirit of God in their hearts. Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? No. No. Because of all that Jesus Christ has done, He's done so that we may have a new life, so that we may be called the children of God and live a new life in Him. That means to put off the old life of sin. So let me ask you again, are you adopted by the blood of Jesus Christ? What that means, dear friend, is have you given your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you still holding on? You're still holding on to your lifestyle, your desire for more, for unchecked pleasure, or whatever you may fill in the blank. There is an emptiness in that. If that's the case, there's a hole in here. A hole in here which is not filled and cannot be filled by anything this world may have to offer. They will be fleeting pleasures. But there's only one way to be made whole. There's only one way to have a heart that can rest, and that's to find its rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the very thing that baptism pictures is the only place where hope may be found. Just as water washes away dirt from our bodies, so too, by grace, does the blood of Jesus Christ wash away all of our guilt and the pollution of our sins. That is ours by faith. When we believe, we go from orphans to sons, from enemies of God to become friends of God, from those who are wandering to those who are walking the path the Lord calls us to. When we believe and are baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, then we can be those who live with peace in our souls and the comfort of Christ in our hearts. So, dear friend, one last time, are you adopted by the grace of God in Christ Jesus? Flee to that Savior. Amen. Let us call upon the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, which by faith secures our death and resurrection in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the privilege to be called sons of God, children of God, members of the family of God, because you, Lord, are a faithful Father. We thank you for our adoption by grace. And we pray, Lord, that if there are any here who do not know of that grace, that they may seek you while you may be found, that they may flee to the Lord Jesus Christ and find in him their all in all. Apply your word to our hearts and lives. Bless now our offerings this morning for New Horizons, for that church plant and that work in Scarborough. We pray that you will bless that and you encourage them, build them up in the most holy faith. Give to us generous hearts, Lord, to the praise of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We now worship God with the giving of our offerings.